Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
And welcome, everybody. It is the end of the week here on Political Coffee, and you know what that means. It's Freedom Friday. That means you can call and talk about anything you want to talk about politically today, because I give you that freedom. We celebrate liberty. We celebrate freedom every day on the show, but Fridays are special. So what do you want to talk about? Maybe you got something that you want to get off your chest. Well, it's easy. You just pick up the phone and call us at 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Or you can send me an email to jeff@1220.am, and I'll do my darndest to read it on the air and try to make some sense of not what you've said, but how we can apply it every day into our lives. That's the purpose of the show. That's what Political Coffee is all about, folks. Taking the political issues of the day that mostly affect us in Oregon, but also nationally, maybe internationally, and presenting interesting questions about them that you can use to be persuasive in your world, persuading the persuadables to get them to start moving our way. Those of us who are constitutional conservatives, people who believe in the rule of law, who believe that the rights of the minority should be protected from the tyranny of the majority. Absolutely. So it's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? Anything's on the table. 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220. There's lots of things that are out there on the news today, and we're going to try to get to all of them, including my little time I spent with the Benton County Republican Party last night at the barbecue, because Oregon GOP Chairman Bill Currier was there and gave some exciting updates on this whole business of the Kate Brown recall that they're engaged in. We'll share that with you a little bit later through the show. Also, some things on OregonWatchdog.com that I think are really important for us to talk about today, including this whole business of, well, remember how I started the show talking yesterday, or actually the day before, I think, talking about how if a politician's lips are moving, are they lying? Well, and this is all, of course, about this whole business of the law that nullifies Oregon's death penalty. In effect, it does. That's exactly what it does. Well, there's a news story about that. Yesterday, we talked about how State Senator Floyd Prezansky, Democrat, liberal, is calling for a special session to deal with this because it was a drafting error. It's not what was intended. Well, I told you that his counterpart, Jennifer Williamson, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee that also passed this law, she was silent on it. Well, she's silent no more. And the Oregonian article is really interesting. Here's the headline, and we'll get into this a little bit later in the show, is another day, another interpretation of Oregon's new law limiting the death penalty. Well, Jennifer Williamson apparently was lying because her lips were moving, because the Oregonian actually calls her out on that. That's also something we'll chat about as we get through it. In fact, there's an editorial about the death penalty law is in need of a fix. Duh. Also, there's another editorial about state laws on Trump tax returns are misguided. They're not only misguided, folks, they will be struck down by the Supreme Court. Because the Supreme Court's already been down this road, not on the tax return issue, but on the fact that states cannot enact electoral laws that change national elections. That's exactly what they're trying to do in California, clearly, but that's exactly what they're going to try to do here in Oregon. And Kate talked about that, too. Again, it's Freedom Friday. Anything's on the table today, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails, of course, to jeff@1220.am. Hey, did you get a chance to see Donald Trump last night in that rally? I got a little bit of it, and I caught the part about where Donald Trump was saying, you know, guns don't pull the trigger. A person pulls the trigger. Now, how true is that? Everybody knows that, right? So what worries me a little bit about this, I'm being quite honest about it, this is what worries me, is that I believe Trump is going to stand firm for his conservative principles. I never thought he was going to govern as conservatively as he has. I mean, you've heard me say that many times. He has held fast to virtually everything he said he would do as a candidate. And he is, in my personal estimation, you look at his track record, there's no question about it that he has, I think, has governed more conservatively in terms of policy through the executive branch and the policies that the Democrats, including Kate and Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum, here in Oregon, have sued over, we've sued 18 times now, I think. I don't know. It's crazy. Anyway, Trump is governing more conservatively than Reagan did. It's just, the track record shows that. More importantly, he's loading the federal bench with constitutional conservatives. This is so important. Now, we hope they turn out to be constitutional conservatives and don't evolve the way John Roberts has, right, on the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's hope Kavanaugh and Gorsuch hold true to their real beliefs in how the Constitution is, how it should be interpreted, how the founders intended it, and the genius behind how it was written. Because it is a document for all time, friends. And I tell you, Trump articulates those things by saying short little snippets that really do communicate effectively with people. And that's things like what he said. The gun doesn't pull the trigger. A person pulls the trigger. Now, of course, the left will go nuts about that, and we'll continue to have this debate about, all right, so how can you, and this is what worries people about what Donald Trump is saying, let's keep guns out of the hands of crazy people. Nobody disagrees with that. I agree with that. But what I don't agree with, and what worries me, is the camel with the nose under the tent. We talk about this all the time because it's reality. We have it happening in Oregon. We just had it happen in this death penalty nullification law. The Senate says one thing is what it means. It's not retroactive. In fact, Jennifer Williamson, even the House, stood up on her floor speech about this bill and said it wasn't retroactive. And now she claims it was retroactive. She meant that to be all along. And that, well, it just, you know, let's define what that means. Typical lawyer. Well, here's the problem. You can't trust bureaucrats not to expand, or frankly, even the legislature or a governor through executive order, to expand the meaning and the scope of a law that gets passed or the rules that go along with that law. So when it comes to this issue of the president saying, let's keep guns out of the hands of crazy people. Yeah, let's. But how do you do that and still protect our rights? How do you do that and still protect or allow the average person to defend themselves with a gun? I mean, that's the central question here. And nobody can trust that the bureaucrats or the politicians aren't going to find a way around that, because they will. If we argue about the meaning of the word is, you can guarantee, and Bill Clinton did that, remember? If we can argue about that, if we can argue about all these things, Jennifer Williamson saying in this story today in the Oregonian, she's, well, let's talk about what retroactive really means. Oh, come on. We all know what it means. This is why politicians and lawyers specifically have such low approval ratings out there, and justifiably so. At any rate, friends, all of this is important stuff that impacts our lives today. And I'm going to tell you that freedom is this powerful and this wonderful thing. This is Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything you want to talk about today. I give you that freedom. Doesn't have to be what I'm talking about right now. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Liberty, freedom, is the basis of humanity in so many ways. And that's what our country was founded on. Liberty. Liberty versus tyranny. So an interesting piece about that today was written in the Oregon Catalyst. And it's written by a rhino, Eric Shearman, who's a political philosopher. He wrote a book called I Was There When We Were Winning, because he's a never-Trumper, or We Were Winning When I Was There is the proper name of it. Eric lives in Salem, and he's a true never-Trumper. But he writes an interesting article. So who's against freedom? It's in the Oregon Catalyst. You can go to OregonCatalyst.com or you can see it on OregonWatchdog.com. He starts off this by saying one paradox of politics is that no one actually thinks they oppose freedom. Yet everyone thinks someone else is freedom's enemy. Well, yeah, I think that's true. But his theory here is that it's really how you define freedom. I go back to this whole point about why we have such a jaded view and a cynical view of politicians and of lawyers, because they try to define these things. There's one thing to think this through at the most basic level. It's another to come up with these specious arguments. And his argument is, well, there's really three versions of freedom. Really? There's a classical conservative one, a classical liberal one, and a socialist one. Well, there is some truth to that. There's no question about it. But if you want to look at what freedom really means, you go back to, and he doesn't even really, he sort of gives a shout out to the founding fathers here in this piece. Because he talks about pioneering fathers like Thomas Hobbes, John Locke, Jean-Jacques Rousseau. These were writers that influenced our founding fathers. There's no question about that. He posits the theory that our freedom, our individual definition, follows our understanding of human nature and the origin of the state found in our individual ideology based on the social contract theory. Okay. All of that is a lot of gobbledygook, friends. And I really mean it that way. It's gobbledygook. Means nothing. And when we come back, we'll talk more about that. I tell you, my version of freedom is just this. It's my ability to live my life the way I want. That my rights come from God, not from man. That's what liberty is. Anyway, folks, we'll take a quick break. Be back in a moment. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. Emails.
Feel it in your heart and feel it in your soul. Let the music take control. We're going to party, climbing, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 22 minutes past the top of the hour. Freedom Friday, what do you want to talk about? I give you the freedom here on Political Coffee to call and talk about whatever political issue is on your mind today. Your opinion matters. Because you know what? When you talk about things from your perspective, sometimes it gives other people both encouragement or gives them the ideas that they need to be persuasive in their world. I mean, that's really what I'm trying to do with this show. It's the whole reason I do this show, is I want you to be able to articulate to people ideas about liberty, about your God-given rights, ideas about what's right for human beings in terms of public policy. Because it all matters. It all is impactful in your life. Now, for instance, you know, by the way, shout out to the Republican folks in Benton County last night. I had an opportunity to go. They had a barbecue, and I was their speaker. Bill Currier was there, who's, as you know, is the chairman of the Oregon Republican Party, and they're involved in this recall of Kate Brown. And he said that they're on track for 400,000 signatures. Now, again, they had 90 days to do this, and they're on track for 400,000 signatures. That's pretty amazing. And he also said something, and I want to share this with you because I think this is important for you to know. He said that they have been promised federal money. They've been promised money from the National Party and other places to go after Kate Brown in a campaign. They're going to need a couple of million dollars to do it. Why? Because Kate's already got a couple of million dollars. That's why she continues to raise money. Because you know what? I think Kate is actually worried that they might get the signatures and she might face a recall. Now, with as unpopular as she is, well, you think it might work? I think it very well could. What do you think? 503-589-1220. Everything's on the table today. It's Freedom Friday. Or shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am, and I will do my darndest to read it on the air. Let's see. Oh, yeah. There's lots, actually. I got lots. Lots and lots and lots. We'll try to get through them here as we go forward. Okay, so one of the things that I spoke with the Benton County Republicans last night was about this business of if a politician's lips are moving, are they lying? Now, that was in the context of this, the story we talked about yesterday, where Senator Floyd Prezansky, Democrat of Eugene, chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, is, you know, saying, oh, well, we gotta call a special session to deal with this. This business of, well, that death penalty nullification law we passed, it really wasn't meant to do that. Well, the story today is, yeah, that his counterpart over on the House side, that is Representative Jennifer Williamson, who is likely going to run for attorney general, is saying, no, that's exactly what we meant. We don't need to do a special session. This is exactly what we meant. Well, now, wait a second. This is an Oregonian story. You can see it on OregonWatchdog.com. And the headline is this. You got to love you. I mean, talk about the gang that can't shoot straight half the time. The other half of the time they can, and that's when they win because Republicans aren't good at countering them. The other half of the time is another. Here's the headline. Another day, another interpretation of Oregon's new law limiting the death penalty. What? So the former House Majority Leader, see, Jennifer Williamson, has resigned as majority leader. Why? Not because she did anything wrong, because she's going to run for attorney general. Okay. So it says the former House Majority Leader, who helped spearhead a new law limiting death penalty cases, said Thursday the legislation was written as she intended, and she doesn't support a call for a special session to fix it. So what's going on here? Well, here's what's interesting. That directly contradicts what she said on the floor of the House. And the Oregonian article holds her account to that. Because she said in her speech on the floor that it wasn't intended to be retroactive. And here she says it does. She does always intended for it to be retroactive. Now, she parses her words here. This is why politicians and lawyers are so despised in America today. Remember that famous Bill Clinton? When he's under deposition, right? Which led to his disbarment as a lawyer. Because he said, well, it depends on what your meaning of the word is. That's lawyers, folks. Now, there are some good lawyers. Don't get me wrong. I'm really happy with my lawyers. They give me good advice. But I'm telling you, folks, this is parsing of words. And it is how it's just slimy and sleazy, isn't it? I mean, don't you feel dirty when you talk to lawyers who use these kinds of specious arguments? It does me. So when I was talking to the Benton County Republicans, it was one of the things I talked about last night. If a politician's lips are moving, are they lying to you? Now, in all seriousness, this story today only reinforces that sad but real interpretation of politicians. And this happens if Kate Brown's lips are moving, is she lying? If Jennifer Williamson's lips are moving, are they lying? About all these things. You pass a law. And by the way, the district attorneys, kudos to them, the District Attorneys Association, because you have to go to clear to the end of the article to get their take on this. And what do they say? Meanwhile, the Oregon District Attorneys, I'm reading from the article now. Meanwhile, the Oregon District Attorneys Association late Thursday sent a letter to Prezansky and Williamson saying Oregonians were repeatedly assured the law wouldn't be retroactive. The organization asked for the law to be repealed or at least clarify to apply only to crimes committed on or after September 29th when the law goes into effect. Beth Heckert, who's Jackson County District Attorney and president of the organization, is quoted here in saying, quote, anything less than that clear directive will not provide the certainty that our laws require. Okay. So in my comments last night to the Benton County Republicans, we're talking about how do we apply, make a difference in changing Oregon politics, because we are in a new era. Timber Unity, a true grassroots movement, shows we're in a new era of Oregon politics. How do we use this as an opportunity? Well, I'll share with you more about that, what I shared with them, what I think each and every one of you can do when we come back from the bottom of the hour break. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? Anything's on the table, give us a call or shoot me an email. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Back in a moment at 6:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, friends. Great to have you with us. It's 24 minutes to the top of the hour. It's Friday. That means I give you the freedom on Freedom Friday to call and talk about anything you want to talk about politically today. Doesn't have to be anything I am talking. Maybe just something that's just kind of really bugging you and you want to get it off your chest. This is your time. Just call 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the power of Buick GMC Talk Line. Shoot me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. Rich sent me an email from late yesterday. Love his sense of humor. What produces nothing, he writes, but consumes everything? The answers are, again, what produces nothing but consumes everything? The answers are government, lawyers, accountants, politicians, especially Democrats. Corbin, thanks for the great email. I deeply appreciate your thoughts about a number of things. Ron, also to you. And Dwight sent me an interesting email about it's a video. And it's a revolting video that he thinks will soon be shown to young students as being completely unnatural. The liberals moving their agenda forward in art. Thanks for the Bev Clarno, her puff piece. Every politician gets to use the state email system to send out emails to people. Dennis Richardson was great at this, by the way. He smartly used it as an opportunity to communicate with people. Well, Bev's doing the same thing. And it's about her going around the state and yada, yada. But she makes an important point. There's going to be a census, as you know, and then after that census, there will be a redrawing of the legislative lines. Now, here's the thing is that the legislature will redraw the lines, and if the legislature is still controlled by Democrats, they're going to redraw it the way they want. They'll continue to maintain their majority by connecting all these little slivers into deeply blue Multnomah County. That's just the reality of it. That's what they're going to do. So you can expect to see more of that. Now, if for some reason they wouldn't agree on that, if for some reason, by some miracle, we have what I'm going to share with you next, which I shared with the Benton County Republicans last night, if that happens, well, guess what? Then it might go to the Secretary of State. So whoever's the Secretary of State is going to have a lot to do with just that. Now, speaking of Secretary of State's race, before I get back to the Benton County Republicans, this Jamie McLeod Skinner is going to run for the Secretary of State's office. She's just announced that. She has to wait to actually formally file, but this is for 2020. Now, who is she? Well, she's another out-of-state transplant, just like Kate Brown, just like Tina Kotek. Isn't it amazing how all these out-of-staters can come in here, leftist, every one of them, and this woman is a leftist. She's a California transplant. And she's a lesbian. She's a radical. Well, she took on Greg Walden. And, of course, she lost, as we knew she would. But it's really interesting. Anyway, she's going to run for Secretary of State. Whoever is Secretary of State, if for some reason Republicans do what I suggested they do last night at the Benton County Republican barbecue, we might win back the Senate, folks. Yes, it's possible. It's more possible than you think. And let me tell you why. Well, that's why the Secretary of State's office comes into play. Because in redistricting, which happens after the census, if the legislature can't agree on it, well, guess what happens? It goes to the Secretary of State. They get to draw the lines. And if it's a Republican Secretary of State, hey. Well, it wouldn't be Bev Clarno because she is not going to be running for re-election. Or at least that was one of the conditions by which Kate Brown appointed her. You know that? So let's hope that we have a Republican who has the ability to win the Secretary of State's office. And let's hope that national politics in 2020, that there's a tailwind behind Donald Trump. Because that gets to me, and hang on, callers, I get to you in a moment. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. I want to make this point. So last night, in talking to the Benton County Republicans, I said there are issues that can be a game changer. And I'm telling you, it's really true. But it's how those issues are used. I mean, it really is. It's how the issues are used. They have to be used emotionally. Because, again, as I've said so many times, we in the Republican Party, it's just the facts, ma'am. It's just the facts. Sergeant Joe Friday from Dragnet. That doesn't work anymore. Emotion is what works. Now, you have to take the right political issue, the right policy issue, and you have to emotionalize it in a way that moves people. For instance, last night, people came to me afterwards and said, you know, we think that this issue of PERS is the issue that we need to use. Okay, so, yeah, it is. But how do you use it effectively? And how could it make a difference in an election? You have to use it emotionally. How do you do that? Well, when people are talking to you about politics, if you want to pique their interest, you say things like what Trump said last night in his rally. It's not the gun that pulls the trigger. It's a person pulls the trigger. That starts the conversation. How about if your daughter or daughter-in-law or a friend is complaining about too many kids in the classroom in school? You say, well, you know why that is, don't you? It's because the Democrats won't fix it. Fix what? Fix PERS. Because PERS is sucking the life out of every government budget there is. How would you feel if you called 911 and a cop didn't show up, or it took a long time for a cop to show up? How would you feel if you called 911 and your house was burning and it takes a long time for the fire department to show up? Why? Because they had to close the fire station down the street. Why? Because the Democrats won't fix PERS because it's leading to layoffs and closures and less cops on the street. That's the only way you can begin to move people in an emotional way, because they have to understand how these bad ideas of the far left, of the radical progressives, they have to understand how it impacts them personally. Go to the phones. It's Freedom Friday. Art, good morning. How are you, friend?
Hey, Jeff, good morning. Happy Freedom Friday. Boy, what can you say? You know, Jeff, the races that are coming up are going to be so critical for our state. We got to get a good attorney general. We absolutely have to get a good secretary of state. You know, and if we have quality leadership, this state will start to turn around and things will get done and done correctly. Obviously, we know Dennis Richardson did a heck of a job, and Bev, well, anyways, we know why Kate chose her, so she could prime the pump to try to get her radical individual put in there, and, you know, we got to get a good quality person in there and defeat this whatever she is, from getting in there. But I did want to point out that despite you know, lousy governor leadership, at least the audits division in our state consistently exposes bad government practices. And the only reason they don't get corrected is because the governor does not make the adjustments to address the issues. That's why we need to get rid of Kate Brown, and hopefully we will do that and elect a great attorney general and a great secretary of state. And God, Jeff, where would this state go if we had quality leadership, which you and I both know we haven't had for a long, long time?
Well, leadership is everything, and you've exactly articulated why Kate Brown is so unpopular, because people know that her leadership style is revenge. That's who she is. And Art, thanks for your thoughts. Have a blessed weekend. Let's go to Dwight. Hey, Dwight, good morning. How are you, man?
Good, Jeff. I wanted the clarification on that gross receipts tax, because historically Oregonians have never voted for a sales tax. And I think it's really important that the voters out there know how that tax is going to affect them, as well as the small business owners. So I haven't heard much clarification on it. I don't know a lot about it myself, but I'd like to know more, because I think that could that's a tax that's going to affect everybody, the business owner as well as the consumer.
You're absolutely right, Dwight, and you're not the first person to come to that conclusion. In fact, the accountants that work for the legislature, called Legislative Revenue Office, And if you could turn your radio off, Dwight, in the background, because it's feeding back through the microphone. Here's the reality is they said the same thing that you said. In fact, they said their analysis shows that there will be a 4% cost of living increase for everyone in Oregon with this new gross receipts tax, which functions effectively as a sales tax. That's why we call it a sales tax. How do we get that message out? Well, don't depend on the lamestream media to do it. It's really up to us individually. Back in a moment with Ron and your further phone calls. Thanks, Dwight, at 6:48.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. It is the last segment today on Freedom Friday, which means you can call and talk about anything you want to talk about politically. It doesn't have to be anything I'm talking about. In a moment, we're going to go to Ron. However, before we do that, I want to remind you, you know, if you're not exactly sure your retirement's going to work out, you're going to have enough money in your retirement, it's going to work out the way you want, because you know how Social Security is. We need to talk to my friend Fred Thompson, New York Life Insurance Agent. He actually has some interesting theories and ways that are actually working for other people about how you can have enough money in retirement. You know, that's something I think about. So why don't you give Fred a call? 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. He can come to your home or you can come to his office, either way. And Fred can sit down and talk with you and design something specifically for you and your life. Fred Thompson, 503-428-7479. Let's go to Ron, who's on the line. Ron, welcome to Freedom Friday. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Ron.
Yes, Ron, PCP for House District 20. I joined Rebecca Roth Thursday there at Costco collecting signatures, recall petition signatures there on the sidewalk beside Costco. And I was helping pass out the clipboards that were filling up almost as fast as we could keep getting new sheets on them. I just wanted to let you know and thank you for getting that word out Thursday morning.
Well, first of all, thank you, Ron, for going and joining Rebecca. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that just it makes me feel like we're having some impact in this radio show in terms of really trying to move people to activism in a way that allows them to stand up for what they believe in. And obviously, you know, it sort of goes back to what Art was talking about in terms of leadership. It really is about leadership. And Kate Brown's leadership is just awful. And you know what? People know it. And I bet you get all kinds, and probably you probably got some very interesting comments from people when they were signing those petitions, didn't you?
Yes. A lot of enthusiasm. They were pulling over and one right after another. She stayed there an extra hour. She was supposed to be there from 4 to 6. She stayed till 7, and then I stayed after that till 8. Could I get one piece of information out?
Please.
A number of people said they were glad to see where they could actually sign the recall petition, recall Kate Brown petition. They said they'd been looking and couldn't find it. The office for the Republican Party is at Hawthorne and Center, as you know, 752 Hawthorne Avenue, and they can, people who want to sign that petition can do that Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. They will be having a drive-through all day tomorrow from 10 to, I believe it's 3 in the afternoon. 752 Hawthorne, Northeast. Anybody wants to sign the Recall Kate Brown petition?
Ron, thanks so much. I appreciate you sharing that information. That's good to know. It's good to know that they're holding a drive-through tomorrow. Tomorrow's Saturday, of course. Great opportunity to do it. People are out and about. I think that makes a lot of sense. Thanks for being a part of that effort.
You bet, Jeff. Good work.
It is. Thank you. I mean, that's how we hold people accountable, politicians accountable. You know, I mean, it is a sad thing. One of the people who has tried to hold Kate Brown accountable is Eric Lukens, who was a Pulitzer Prize winner along with the editorial staff at the Oregonian when he was the editor there, because they did this entire series, and very good series, and Ted Sickinger, one of the great reporters at the Oregonian, took the lead on this, talking about PERS and its real impact. Well, he's out as the editor of the Bend Bulletin, and that really is a sad thing, because he wrote some of the best, I just think, honest assessments of where Oregon is politically and some of our political leaders. And it's in Willamette Week, actually. It's and again, you can see this if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. Here, the headline is, one of Oregon's best-known journalists is out at the Bend Bulletin, as the Bend Bulletin, rather, adjust to new ownership. And that's really, it's a sad thing, because Eric, just one of the few editors of this state that was willing to be honest in their assessment of, quote-unquote, the progressive, in fact, that's written here, At the Oregonian, Lukens earned a reputation for challenging the progressive orthodoxy that dominates Oregon politics. And for stylish writing, he holds a Ph.D. in English literature from Princeton. I didn't know that. So he started his career in 1998 at the Bend Bulletin, was at the Oregonian and other places, and he came back to the Bulletin as editor. And, of course, like many, so many newspapers, they've struggled. They were just sold. I mean, they're in Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And it's a loss, folks, for those of us who believe that the news media should be, you know, a neutral organization. Now, editorial staffs are different, obviously, because they write editorials. But that's different than the headline that most people just see. That's how they form their political opinions, whether they see the headline on social media or whatever. And I got to tell you, this is what I was sharing with the Benton County Republicans last night. They're the opportunity for each of us to make an impact in our world politically is profound. But it's how you do that that really matters. And when you can do that by taking these incredibly important things we talk about, like, for instance, the issue of losing your parental rights. There's the story today, you know, the lady we had on who had the teenage daughter who had been diagnosed with cancer, and she treated the cancer with CBD oil, right? Which, by the way, you can get from Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial here in Salem. It's where I get mine from, and I think you should go down and talk to them also. Well, she's in the news because now her daughter's been taken away from her, and we talked a little bit about that. That lady now has to turn herself in. And she did. She's going to be turning herself in. There's a story about that today. You can also see that on Oregon Watchdog. That's a parental rights issue. Now, if you want to make a difference and move people who are persuadable, don't. This is what I told the Benton County Republicans last night. Don't try to persuade the far left idiots out there, the regressive totalitarian Marxists. You're wasting your time and your breath and your energy. But you can pose interesting questions, ask questions in your daily interactions with the persuadable people that get them to thinking about these issues. Like, does government give you your parental rights, or do you get them from God or from nature? Those are things that get people thinking and starts a conversation. Then you can get into the political issues. Don't argue with people, but rather be persuasive by asking thoughtful questions. That's how you move people. I hope you've been moved. I've been moved. I'm honored to have each and every one of you in the audience. Get out there. Make it a great day and a great weekend. See you Monday.